And hallelujah. We're going to be talking from Mark 6. You can follow me. Mark chapter 6, verses beginning at verses 30. You know the story well. It's feeding of the 5,000, but then we're going to go right on. We're going in from verse 30 straight on to perhaps 52, but not too sure. But we're going to take on this thing, and I'm not going to talk about Jesus walking on the water, because that's all involved in that, you know, it's all like that. So you with me? You with me?
Amen.
Praise God for the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Hallelujah for the spirit of prophecy.
Amen.
Because the spirit of prophecy gives us the background, behind the scenes. I was reading one day, doing my little devotion with Jesus. And Sister White had said, the reason the Lord gave her the spirit of prophecy, the reason why the Lord gave her all the messages, because people wouldn't read the Bible. Huh? Yes, sir. Wouldn't read the Bible. So if we had read the Bible, if they back there had read the Bible, there would not have been any need to give the spirit of prophecy. So he gave the spirit of prophecy to us, she said, in simple language. And they got mad at her, but in simple, you see how much Jesus loves us?
Amen.
We should be constantly saying, Jesus loves me, this I know. What extent he has gone through to save my soul. So we're looking at the word. Thank God for the spirit of prophecy. And of course, this is all from Desire of Ages, page 631. I don't know how the books run, but I put that page up there according to my book. Background, Mark 6:48 will be my key text. If you have it, read it out loud. Mark 6:48. And I just want you to read it and stop at the word them. THEM. If you have it, just read out loud. Beginning now.
Then saw them.
Oh, no, you got to do the whole sentence. Then he saw them toiling. Go ahead. All right, let's start again. 1, 2, 3. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was
against them.
That's right. Some says contrary and against. The wind was beating the devil out those disciples. Well, let's do the background now, right? Let's do the background. The disciples had just come in from their field of labor, and they were so excited. Jesus, oh, Jesus, let me tell you something. Jesus, we healed people. Oh, my, bon dia.
Buon noche.
A signora vai bene. Muito bene. It's my fellow country lady, Brazil. They had just come back. Jesus, you can't be, they were tired. Jesus, you can't believe what we did. We cast out devils in your name. They fled. Jesus, cool, standing there. Jesus, man, it was sick folk. They were sick folk, and we prayed, we put our hands on them, and they were healed. They jumped up, leaping, thanking Jesus. Oh, Lord, we did so many things in the name of Jesus. They were totally excited. They were so excited. Jesus said, all right, boys. Jesus was cool. He told his posse, listen, fellas, you've been out there working long. Just take the school apart and rest a while. You got to do that sometimes. We labor. I'm told that this is y'all are farmers and loggers and everything. I've never met a logger, and I would like to meet a logger and shake his hand and ask what he does. Logger. You need to tell me what a logger does, because I just seen them on TV. Any more loggers in the house? I want to know what a logger does. I don't know what a logger does. But here he said, you need to rest. You've been out there working. It takes a lot to deliver the message and to work with people and help convince them to say, yes, I know this God. And you know, they were arguing, say, but he said, come on, part and rest a while. Go to a little desert place. And let's rest a while. So they started off, Jesus with them. The people saw him. People were always gathering where Jesus was. We should always gather where Jesus is going to be taught. We need to just, Jesus, we need to come together and gather where Jesus is. That encourages us, that strengthens us, you know? So they went off and the people saw it. And the people start following them. And they went off and the people got in their boats and they went and followed the disciples and Jesus to this desert place. And when they got there, Jesus said, you got to feed these people. You got to feed them. And of course, the disciples, they hadn't eaten themselves. Where are we going to get all this money to feed these people? Jesus, what are you talking about? Send them home. But Jesus had compassion on them. How much compassion is shown today? There was a beggar on the street that I took care of. He said, you look like my mother. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I took care of the beggar. Compassion. Compassion. Jesus had compassion on them. Where are we going to get the food, Lord? We don't have that much money. We haven't even eaten lunch. We haven't eaten. Why are you telling? Send them home, Jesus. But Jesus had compassion on them. They looked around. What did they find? What did they find? A little boy with what? How many loaves of bread? And they weren't big pieces, big loaves of bread like we get today. Five? And how many fish? Spirit of prophecy says two small fish. Can I take your lunch? Can I take your lunch? Can I have your lunch? Would you give me your lunch? You're giving your lunch, right? You don't mind? He doesn't know how he's going to eat, right? But you're willing to give me your lunch? We take the lunch from the fella. He takes it. He's willing to give up his lunch that his mama had packed for him. And he gives it to the disciples, and the disciples bring it to Jesus, and they go, this is all we found. This is all we have. This little boy with these, how many loaves of bread? And these are small. How many fish? Two small fish. It's all we have, Jesus. It's all we have. Jesus says, little in the hands becomes what with Jesus? Much, isn't it? By faith, Jesus took it. And also, God set him down. 50s, hundreds, and God's a God of order. He's not a God of disorder. God's a God of order. And he expects us to be like him. We should have order. You can say amen, you can say hallelujah, you can say what you want. You can speak out and say, sit down, I don't agree with you. Set them down. And he fed them. He thanked his father. That's faith, isn't it? I was listening to in the archives of Stories of Faith, Sayuri and Doug, talking about Mueller. Faith, my brothers and sisters. Faith. By faith. We are drawn by faith. You can pray for someone, and the Bible says, according to your faith. According to your faith. I don't care how small your faith is. If you go ahead and exercise that faith, it grows. You hear? You become bolder for Jesus Christ by faith. We're told by the messenger of the Lord, we don't ask for the big enough things from God. Long as it's not amiss, long as it's something that will glorify him, I said, Lord, bring it on. Bring it on. By faith. By faith is our connection to Jesus Christ. By faith, ask me. He says, ask me anything. And I'll take it to my Father. It's by faith. He thanked his Father for the bread. And then he gives it to his disciples. They pass it out. Everybody is full. Bread and fish. Five loaves. Two fish. Everybody's full. How many baskets did they pick up? 12. Take it home. Potluck. Takeouts. Take it home. 12. According to your faith. Now here we go. The people were very, very contented. Jesus was talking all this good stuff. My Father, he does this. My Father is the king of the universe. I am the son of this king. And they're going, first of all, this man just fed all of us. 5,000 plus, my brother. This is not an ordinary man. Nah, there's something divine about this fella. He looks kind of raggedy. His clothes are just like ours, but there's something different in this man. And that's what God expects of us. People should look at us and say, something's different. Are you a Christian? That's how people should look at us. By the way we walk, by the way we talk, by the way we carry ourselves, they should be able to know that we have been with Jesus. It's clear. It's easy. Simple. I'm struggling like everybody else. Struggling. I said, Lord, have mercy on me. But when I want people to be able to say, is that Carol or Jesus? I don't want them to be able to tell us apart. Is that Carol or Jesus? Isn't that right? Yeah, that's right. We have to be so much like Jesus. So here they were. No, this is divine power. That man fed 5,000 plus and picked up 20, how many baskets? 12 baskets. Nah, there's something different. This is no ordinary man here. And they got to listening. And they got to looking. And they were thinking about the kind of life that they were having under the Romans. Oh, no, man. Conviction was starting to strengthen as Jesus talked. Told them about heaven. Told them about the things that are yet to come. Build their hopes up. And they just got the salivary glands just started secreting more. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and his righteousness. He was filling them full of hope. And they got to thinking, boy, you know one thing? This is the God that can be our king. Oh, yeah, he can make things right. Why, what he's telling us, and he can go to all the wounded soldiers, and he can heal them. Read the spirit of prophecy. He can heal them. Plus, there are many of the soldiers don't have food. He can feed them, and we can rise up. We can rise up. We can make this thing happen. And you know, you got to watch what you think. That's why it's in the Bible, let this mind be in Jesus, and this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Because what you think, now they're sitting there thinking, they're watching Jesus, they're listening carefully to every one of his words that comes out of his mouth. And there they are thinking, and their hopes rise higher and higher. Yeah, we can do this thing. You gotta watch your thinking, because your thoughts, what you think, your thoughts become your actions. Got to be careful that you're thinking the right things. You hear all these murders. You hear all this. This is what's taking place, Texas. And Tina, well, you told me someplace else, didn't you? Fresno. What you think, if your mind is on the wrong things, Satan will come in. He'll turn that, he'll twist it, he'll make you believe those wrong thoughts, and you'll start building on it, and before you know it, you will act on those kind of thoughts. It's true. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we got to watch what we read, we got to watch. You know, I like television. I love television. I got cable, which has how many stations? and there are about five I look at. I'm paying for five stations because I'll sit in my living room and I'll say, Lord, we can't watch that. Just mine. I'm on my way to heaven, okay? I made up my mind. I'm on my way to the kingdom. So here they are. They're thinking, oh, yeah, this man here who just fed 5,000 people, he can break the backs of the Romans. Oh, dude, he can do this. So they were so enthusiastic. That mob mentality was taking place, brother. They were enthusiastic back to singing. We can crown him king right now. Put him on our shoulders and we can march on in. We can crown him king. And they got together. Spirit of prophecy said they consulted together. We can do this thing. There's enough of us. There's only one of him. But Jesus knows what's on your mind. Jesus knows your heart. He knew it was not his time. He didn't come here for earthly things. He came here to prepare you for the heavenly things. This stuff, folk, this stuff is going to pass away. Sean Boonster told me one day in the office, he said, Carol, you know one thing? He said, I know I'm not as healthy as I could be. He said, but Carol, Carol, when you stay in a hotel? I said, yeah. He said, you know, someone at night passes out that your bill, right? Slip that bill under the door, right? He said, Carol, we're just passing through. We're just passing through. The bill has been paid on Calvary, but we're just passing through. That's all we are, folk. We're passing through. We cannot get settled on this earth. This is not our home. I don't live here. I'm a stranger here. I'm a pilgrim here. I'm a nomad because heaven is my home. I'm going to glory where I don't have a mortgage. The bank owns my house. I'm going where the rent is free because Calvary did it. Hallelujah. I'm going to heaven where I don't have to worry about Medicaid. Doctor's bills. I'm going to glory. I got pains now, but buddy, when I strut into the kingdom, I won't have it. I'm going to glory to be with the great physician. Do you hear me? I got an attitude about Jesus, and I don't care what anyone says. I'm going to be with my Lord. I got my mind made up, and I'm not turning around. That's an old song we used to sing, because I'm going to see my Jesus someday. Don't get me singing and stuff. Jesus knew their minds. He knew what was going on, so he called his posse together. He said, I want you to get out of here right away. They didn't like that. You know, they were always around you. I want you to leave immediately. Get into the boat and get to the other side. Leave immediately. Boy, they were mad. They were mad with Jesus. And sometimes we get mad with Jesus. Why are you sending me away? Why haven't you answered? You know what I'm saying? He said, go immediately. Go at once. No hesitation. And we're told by the messenger that hesitation, when you hesitate, when the Lord tells you to do something, you hesitate, that's not obedience. You should obey without question. And I have to deal with that. You got to obey without question. If the Lord said it, that's it. Don't question it. Well, I got a lot of stories I could tell you, but I'm going to try and get you out here early. Pray for me. He told him, he says, get out. Leave. Go immediately. Get in the boat and go on the other side, and I will meet you. Don't wait for me. Go. Go. They left like this. You know, I don't understand, Jesus. I don't understand. Why is he sending us away? He doesn't trust us. He knows how I feel. The disciples had the same mind as the multitude had. Oh, yeah, we can put Jesus up on the throne right away. He can take the crown right away. They had the same mind. They had dissatisfaction, Sister White says, in their hearts. Dissatisfaction. Why does he want us to stay away from him when all this good stuff is taking place? Mumbling, murmuring, complaining. And you know what happened to the children of Israel who murmured and complained as they went through the wilderness? Scorpions were there all along. Scorpions were there. A deadly bite would take you out. But as long as they obeyed Jesus, they were never bitten. Once we step from under the canopy of obedience, we're on our own. We're open game for Satan. And then we go, why aren't you protecting me, Lord? Why aren't you protecting me? Why are you allowing this to happen to me? Why did you bring this on me? It's your own fault. It's your own fault. Disciples were upset. They were impatient with Jesus. Lord, I prayed for such and such. I prayed for the job. Why haven't I gotten the job? Were you listening or were you not listening? You get impatient with God. And yet the Bible says, wait patiently on the Lord. You don't know what's taking place with divinity, trying to clear stuff up or get you right, get me right. Of course, she said it was murmuring. Why didn't they make me the head soloist of the choir? I can sing. Why wasn't I made the head deacon? Been in the church a long time. Why, I know my stuff with AV and microphones. Why didn't they choose me? Why? Murmuring, complaining. And Jesus told the disciples, go at once. Then they started blaming each other, just like Adam and Eve did. You know one thing? Why did you yield so quickly to Jesus when he said go? Well, he did go. He said, why did you blame each other? The blame game, we play it all the time. What does that verse 648 say? Then unbelief started settling, taking possession of their minds. Why hasn't Jesus come? He's been saying he's going to come. Why hasn't he come? You know, I don't know. I read the Bible, but I don't believe he's coming. Unbelief. Verse 648, by the time they got going, it was dark. The weather had changed. The winds. And these were experienced fishermen, like the experienced logger, experienced farmer, whatever your business is, ladies and gentlemen, your experience, it didn't kick in. Here they are fighting these waves. Plus it's dark. They had gotten mad with Jesus, got impatient with him, started doing a blame game. They were dissatisfied, and then they had unbelief crept in and took possession of them. Here they are battling with that frame of mind. But oh, sweet Jesus. And he should have come. Oh, sweet Jesus. And all that, Bible says, he was standing on the shore with his eyes on them. He He sees you struggling with whatever problem you have. How am I going to pay this bill, Jesus? He sees you struggling. Trust me. Lord, this divorce is killing me. How am I going to make it? He's got his eye on you in that turmoil. Lord, I can't take the pressure anymore. He's got his eye on you. He always has his eye on you. We're constantly in his view. Constantly. There's no problem. There's no struggle. There's no chaos that he doesn't have his eye on. And he understands. He understands when you're jobless, trying to take care of your family. He's got his eye on you. He understands the anxieties that you have. He's got his eye on you. And not only the eye, he's got the solution, my brother. He's got the solution. They that wait upon the Lord shall, I think it's the Hebrew pastor for renew, shall change your strength. Going to mount up? Come on, say it out loud. You know those eagle wings? He's going to change our strength. Lord has his eye on you. If you're depressed, things are closing in on you. He said, I got my eye on you. You just trust me. I can't see, Lord, trust me. Just trust me. I mean, I know what I'm talking about, folk. You know what I'm talking about. My husband left me. He left me. He left me for a younger woman. But he left me. You know what that did to me, my sister? I'm going to speak a little bit about it in another few days, but you know what it did to this little sister? Tore me up, you hear? Tore me up, do you hear? That doubt came into my mind and Satan started playing with my mind. And thank you, Jesus, I'm not in jail. That's all I have to say. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, I am not in jail. Because hear me, folk. He had his eye on me. I couldn't see because of the blindness and the tears and the anger and the bitterness and why I didn't and the why and all and I'm not going to talk about the knife that I had and all that like that stuff. But he had his eye on me. Had his eye on me. Hold on, Carol. I got my eye on you. I want more than your eye. My eye is strong. My eye is strong. I'm going to bring you through if you just hold on a little bit. I know. What you see is a miracle of God in me. It's a miracle of God in me. Yeah, they talked about me singing at that general conference. I gave those people a fit because they didn't know what to do with me. I'd go down the hall, oh, Jesus, I love you, because I know I should have been in jail. But he had his eye on me. He had his eye on me. He said, oh, no, that girl's not going to jail. But I could see myself in jail, because I used to visit jail. I was in prison ministry. I was one of my departments, honey. And I said, now, wait a minute. I've been in jail to see those folk. I visited with them, prayed with them. I knew. And I said, now, Lord, you know one thing? I can't go to jail because of me. I'll go to jail because of you, because I know then you got your eye on me. You're going to take care of me really good. But if I make some foolish mistake or something like that, like killing that man, which I had planned to do, but I said, thank you, Jesus. I said, yeah, I'm going to be shackled. I seen it. I'm sure some of you all have seen. You get shackled on your legs. First of all, you get that ugly orange outfit, and it doesn't fit. I'm a size 2. Anyone know 2? They may give me a size 20. What you talking about? I said, no. They're going to shackle my ankles, and I'm a cute little thing, you know. They're going to shackle my wrists. I used to work in the judge's chamber. I know what I'm talking about, and I've seen them come in and be sentenced. And I said, now, no, Lord, I'm going to go to jail. I know I'm kind of cute. I know it. I know I'm kind of cute, and I'm going to be going like this. And Big Bertha got her eyes on me, and it's going to be finished for me. I knew. But Jesus had his eye on me, folk. And because he had his eye on me, I'm here tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Someone here. I'm closing. Someone here. You're struggling. You're struggling with a habit. Pianist. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Pianist, whoever the pianist is, play it soft for me and slow. You're struggling with drugs, maybe. You're struggling with depression. You know, you got these over-the-counter drugs. People are dying like crazy over these opiates. You're struggling. But Jesus died on the cross. So I got love for you. So I got joy for you. I got peace for you. All you got to do is exchange. Exchange, Ayo. Give me your depression. Let me give you some peace. Give me that drug habit. I'm going to give you some peace. I'll give you Jesus. Yeah, your marriage messed up? Give it to me. I'll talk to that partner. Give it to me. I got my eye on that stuff. I know what to do about it. I don't have food. Give it to me. I got my eye on it. I'll get you food. Illness. Give me the illness. I got you. He says, just trust me. You're praying. Go down and pray. I'm going to make an appeal. You're anxious about life's problems. I don't know where I'm going from here. I just don't know. I don't know. Give me your anxiety. Give me your anxiety. And so my first appeal, just a little softer, sister, just a little softer, because I don't talk loud, just a little softer. Thank you. We're on our way to the kingdom, folk. As spotted as we are, Jesus says, I'll exchange coats with you too. Is that your desire? Put your hand up. Is that your desire? Take my filthy rag, dear Lord. Exchange it for your righteousness. That's my desire. Thank you. Do you believe that Jesus loves you and he wants you to be with him eternally? I believe it. You believe it? I believe it. I believe this without a doubt. Do you believe he can fix the mess that you're in? Do you believe he can fix the mess that we're in? I believe it. I'm going to appeal to those that say, I've been struggling, Sister Carol. I've been struggling. I really don't know what to do with my life. I don't know if I should really trust this Jesus or not. I don't know. I really don't know what to do. If you're out here, And you really want solutions? I don't know any of you. But you're human beings. You're just like the rest of us. There's no difference. If you're struggling with something, I heard your word. I heard the word from Jesus. And he said he has his eye. He has his eye on us. Will he really work me through this thing? He will. All right. In faith, I'm going to ask him to help me. If there's someone out there tonight sitting, I'm going to try it. I'm going on what you said. I want you to slip out and come up and stand with me. Don't be ashamed. Just come on. I'm going to pray for you. Pastor and I are going to pray. We're going to pray this nonsense out your life. Who else? If I was sitting in the seat, I'd come. Who else? Come on. Who else? You got stuff going on in your life. You got stuff going on. Just like me. Got stuff. Oh, terrible stuff. You hear? We got stuff. We can't do this thing alone. We can't do it alone. But we got a Jesus. We got a Jesus that says, "You bring me your problems. Bring them to me." In fact, Jesus said, "I dare you to bring them to me. Bring them on. Bring them on to me. Because I got the solution for you." Anybody else? We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. Eu entendo. Leva a mão. You're struggling. You're sitting in that seat right now struggling. You're struggling. But Jesus says, "I got the solution for you, love. I got the solution. I got it for you. I got the solution for you." He said, "I got the solution. I don't know what it is, but Jesus knows what it is." He said, "I got it. I got it for you. And it's going to be okay. I got the solution for you. You're trusting me. You're stepping out on faith. If it is the side of the mustard seed, I don't even know. But he said, "I got it. I got it for you. I got it. I got it for you." Anybody else? Come on. If someone else, you're struggling. Satan's telling you, he doesn't have an answer, then he's a liar. He's the father of lies. Pastor's going to pray. Come on up even while we're praying. Why he's praying? Come on up. Pastor, come on over here. Nothing is impossible with Jesus. Trust him. Or do you want to hold those little things? Satan can't stand your guts. I want you to know it. He wants to, he trembles when he knows someone's getting ready to leave his camp. He starts telling you stuff. No, you're not good enough for Jesus. You're good enough for Jesus because Calvary paid it all. So come on. My pastor prays for you.
Gracious Father, we thank you because you give us opportunities to trust you. And that opportunity is now. We want to trust you and give you our fears, to give you our pain, our sorrows, knowing that you will supply. You will get us through this. Thank you because you do the impossible. You fed the 5,000. You calmed the storm. You walked on water. And so today, I don't know exactly what everyone is here is needing tonight, but you know exactly what they are needing. And by faith, we claim your promises to know that you will do what is best in our lives and we'll be able to praise you. And so, Father, tonight, I don't know what is keeping praise from being shared from our lips. But I pray that we may look with the eyes of faith and praise you anyway. Thank you for the miracles that you are doing even tonight. In you we trust, and may we trust even more than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord.